Hello, everyone. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. This is Jeffries Samuel, your Bible study teacher on the book of Micah. Let us start with a word of prayer. Our Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, we praise you and give you all glory. Please help us to understand the life and prophetical messages of Micah so that we share this concern for his people and we follow Christ and accomplish his will in this needy world. Bless all listeners. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The prophetic books of the Bible are divided up into two sections, the minor prophets and the major prophets. Micah is one of the minor prophets. Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah. Isaiah wrote more, so he is called major prophet. Micah wrote less, so he is called minor prophet. Micah prophesied during the last half of the 8th century BC. Micah's Hebrew name is Micaiahu. The name Micah means who is like Jehovah. He was from the village of Moresheth near Gath. That is Moresheth, Moresheth, near Gath, about 25 miles southwest of Jerusalem. He prophesied during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Jotham ruled from 750 BC to 735 BC. Ahaz ruled between 735 and 715 BC. And Hezekiah ruled between 715 and 686 BC. Engage Bible Handbook gives the following description about Micah's prophecy. Micah's prophecy is a beautiful and moving example of classical Hebrew poetry. Like his contemporary Isaiah, Micah possessed great literary power. While Isaiah was a court poet, Micah was rustic from an obscure village. Isaiah was a statesman, Micah an evangelist and a social reformer. Isaiah was a voice to kings, Micah a herald for God to the common people. Isaiah addressed himself to political questions. Micah dealt almost entirely with personal religion and social morality. The following Bible verses shows the time period Micah prophesied and also the other prophets who were involved. Micah chapter 1:1, the word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Moresheth, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Jeremiah 26:18 says, Micah the Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, thus said the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as high places of a forest. Isaiah the prophet had the vision about the kings of Judah. Chapter 1:1, the vision of the Isaiah, son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. The prophet Hosea also prophesied against kings of Judah. Chapter 1:1, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Key idea of Micah's prophecy is God judges sin and calls for justice. Key verse is Micah 6:8. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Micah indicts Israel and especially Judah for being disloyal to their covenant with God. He tells them that this will bring certain devastation upon them. He also proclaimed that Yahweh, because of his never-ending love and mercy, will one day save them, judge their enemies, and shepherd them as their king. The promise from the prophet Micah was that if the children of God would turn around and come back to God, God would be right there for them to show himself mighty on their behalf. God is the central figure. It is very healthy for us to focus on the character of God. It helps to better understand the prophet's words if we realize that he is using the familiar form of poetry known as parallelism. In traditional parallelism, every line is repeated, saying exactly the same thing, but using different words to convey the same meaning. Read the following verses in a parallel manner. Micah 2:12 says, I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. O Jacob and Israel have the same meaning. Other examples are, I will bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with people. 2:13 says, one who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. The words break open the way, break through the gate, pass through before them, and Lord at their head are all verses in a parallel manner. Just knowing about parallelism helps us to better understand many passages of Scripture. Let us list some of the sins upon which God is going to bring judgment. Following lists are very relevant in this modern age. God is going to judge the idol worship. Chapter 1:7, chapter 5:13. God is going to judge those who plan iniquity and plot evil. Chapter 2:1. God is going to judge covetousness and defraud. Chapter 2:2. God is going to judge the leaders and rulers who commit injustice, hate good and love evil. Chapter 3:1-11. God is going to judge those who do witchcraft and casting spells. verse 5:12. God is going to judge wickedness and dishonesty, chapter 6:10-12. God is going to judge those who shed innocent blood, accept bribes, and cause lawlessness in chapter 7. This list reminds us the present-day condition of our modern world. Surely it is time for judgment. It is interesting to note that God chose Micah and filled him with his power to proclaim judgment against his people. Chapter 3, verse 8 states, "But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin." King Uzziah died in 739 BC. During Jotham's reign, Assyria grew stronger, and when Ahaz ascended the throne, both Syria and Israel tried to pressure him into joining a rebellion against Assyria. You read that in Isaiah 7. Jeremiah 26:18 informs us that it was Micah who encouraged the great reformation in Judah under the leadership of King Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 18-20 give the account of King Hezekiah's time of reign. Judah was rapidly changing from rural to urban. Wealthy investors were buying up small family farms and developing huge land holdings, which created serious problems for the poor. This is in defiance of the law of Moses. Micah, who brought up in a farming community, came to help the poor and oppressed community and rebuked the selfish, wealthy landowners. Prophet Amos echoed the same message. Micah saw the coming judgment of the northern kingdom under Assyria. That's in 722 BC, as well as the fall of Jerusalem and Judah under the Babylonians. That's between 606 through 596 BC. He sought to call the Jews back to faithful worship of Jehovah. He encouraged them to come back to the covenant relationship with their holy God. He fought for social justice and equality. He had concern for the helpless, but they never repented. Micah delivered three messages: a warning message, that is, judgment is coming, chapter 1:1 through chapter 2, verse 13. A, the judge appears. B, the nations are judged, judgment on Samaria and judgment on Judah. C, why judgment is coming? Because of covetousness, because of false prophets. D, hope for the remnant. 2, the second message, a promise message. A deliverer is coming. Chapters 3:1-5:15. The sins of the leaders, the future of the nation, the coming of Messiah, the defeat of the enemy. A challenge message. That's a third message. A challenge message. Trust the Lord now. Chapter 6, verse 1 through chapter 7, verse 20. In spite of the indictment, in spite of sentence, because of the Lord's mercies, God warned you to trust him. In spite of all these shortcomings, God is going to help you. We will discuss those three messages in detail later. If people don't listen to God from where they are, He has a way of sending them somewhere else. For example, when man did not listen to God, Tower of Babel happened. Confusion of language started. Men were scattered when children of Israel did not listen to God. They were down into Egypt. Later they were off to Babylon. Nowadays, God sends people off to faraway places, off to jail, into a prison of his own or her own making, like bitterness, anger, resentment, and addiction. But if they are willing to be turned around, God promises that He will gather them back together. The church is God's gathering place. Psalms 68:6 says this: God sets the lonely in families. He leads for the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Now let us examine each chapter of Micah based on three messages. There are seven chapters in the book of Micah. Judgment is coming. This is a warning message. This is the first message. You read that in Micah chapter 1:1-2, chapter 2:13. Chapter 1:1 says like this: the word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, the vision he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. God chose Micah to deliver the message of judgment on his people. This is not an easy task. God filled him with his power to proclaim judgment against his people. Prophet Jeremiah confirmed this in chapter 26:18. Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah. He told all the people of Judah, "This is what the Lord Almighty says: Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble, the temple hill a mound overgrown with thickets." In 2 Chronicles chapter 27:1 says, "Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. In chapter 27 says, "Jotham grew powerful because he walked steadfastly before the Lord his God." 2 Chronicles 28:1 says, "Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord." Jotham grew powerful because he pleased God, but Ahaz displeased God and he became a prisoner of the king of Aram. Verse 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 1 says, "Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done." Here his mother's name is mentioned. That means she had good influence on him in bringing him up as a godly man. He repaired and purified the temple and brought revival. Let's look at this time the judgment against Samaria and Jerusalem, Judah and Israel. The first message was a warning that divine judgment was coming on both Judah and Israel. This message was fulfilled in 722 BC, when Assyria defeated Israel, and in 606 through 586, when the Babylonians invaded Judah, destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and took the house of people, and took thousands of people captive to Babylon. Micah 1, chapter 2 through 7. The image in verses 2 through 5 is that of a court of law. The image in verses 2 through 5 is that of a court of law. God is the judge, and Judah and Samaria are the defendants. Micah addresses all the people of the earth because God is the Lord of the whole earth, and all the nations are accountable to him. God is both judge and witness. Verse 2. He bears witness from his holy temple, where his law was kept in the Ark of the Covenant. The people are summoned to draw near. Hear, you people. God himself is appealed to in testimony against these people. The Lord himself gave them warning, but they ignore it. Today, God is warning the church, and he is warning the nations. The Christians should take the warnings seriously. Jesus is coming soon to judge the earth. Micah 1:3 says, "The Lord is coming from his dwelling place. He comes down and treads the high places of the earth. The high places set up for the worship of the idols shall be destroyed." God is angry at his people because of their sins. His coming makes the earth split and the mountains melt, so that the rock flows like melted wax or waterfall. Verse 4. Assyria defeated Israel in 722 BC. The leaders of Judah should have repented and turned to the Lord when they saw what happened to Israel. But they did not repent. The Lord said, "I will make Samaria a heap of rubble, a place for planting vineyards. I will pour her stones into the valley and lay bare her foundations." Verse 7 says that all her idols will be broken to pieces. All her images will be destroyed. Verses 5 says, "All this is because of Jacob's transgression. All the calamities of Jacob and Israel are owing to their own sins." What are the sins they committed? It is idolatry. It is high places. It is the idolatry of Samaria and Jerusalem, the royal cities of those two kingdoms. They had the power, authority, and influence upon their country. Look at the nations now. The state governments, Supreme Court, and high government governing authorities are breaking God's law. They want to abolish God and Ten Commandments from the public places. No wonder why God is judging the nations. The gods they worship shall be destroyed. Verse 7. The graven images shall be beaten to pieces by the army of the Assyrians, and all the idols shall be laid desolate. Sennacherib destroyed all the idols of Samaria, and their gods cast into the fire. Isaiah 10:11, "Shall I not deal with Jerusalem and her images as I dealt with Samaria and her idols?" Isaiah 37:19 says, "They," that means Assyrians, "have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. The gifts that passed between them and their God shall be burnt. since she gathered her gifts from the wages of prostitutes, as the wages of prostitutes, they will again be used. Verse 7. Deuteronomy 23:18 states, you must not bring the earnings of a female prostitute or of a male prostitute into the house of the Lord your God to pay any vow, because the Lord your God detests them both. The Assyrians plundered Judah and would have taken Jerusalem, but God miraculously saved them. Isaiah chapters 36 and 37. Both Judah and Israel were guilty of idolatry. That is a rebellion against God. When the nation was divided after Solomon's death, the northern kingdom established its own religious system in competition with the Mosaic worship in the temple of Jerusalem. But the people of Judah had secretly begun to worship the false gods of Canaan. Their hearts were not true to Jehovah, even when they stood in the temple courts and offered their sacrifices. Isaiah 1. The temple had become like one of the high places in the hills around Jerusalem, where the Jews secretly worshipped idols and offered their sacrifices. Next week, next class, I will continue to teach on the verses 8 through 16 of Micah, chapter 1. There we will discuss about the lamentation, the funeral of a ruined kingdom, funeral of a ruined kingdom. Goodbye. God bless you.